It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. I'm your host, Big JD. You're listening to You Talking to Me. Today, I'm joined by the founder of a paranormal investigative group called Oakland Paranormal, and we'll be talking about paranormal activity and phenomena, as well as listening to actual voices of ghosts. You be the judge. Please welcome Benjamin Young to You Talking to Me. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, Big JD. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on the show. Got quite a bit of stuff to cover, so let's just dig right in. Who are the original members of Oakland Paranormal?
The original members are myself, and my co-founder is Zachary Walker, who I've known since fifth grade.
Okay, and I guess you and the co-founder, Zachary,
Zach.
You'd known him for a long time. What grade did you say?
About fifth grade. We met each other in rah-rah wrestling. So it goes way back. I would probably say 8 years.
And when did you start the group?
We started the paranormal investigating itself about 6 years ago. We didn't start the name Oakland Paranormal till about last October.
Okay. And why did you start the group? I understand it was after you lost a family member and others in your family started seeing apparitions.
Yeah, when I was 17, my senior year homecoming week, my aunt passed away from breast cancer. Family was telling me that they saw her in their sleep. They woke up in the middle of the night and seen her walking around the house. And I was at first freaked out by anything to do with ghosts. So I decided to step up and see if I can find anything myself. So that was really our first investigation, was the cemetery where she is buried at.
So what is it that really interests you about paranormal investigation?
Just the fact that there's stuff out there that a lot of people are against or don't want to believe in, that there are other things on this world except just us.
And so are you, like, what kind of stuff are you into? Is it just ghosts, or is there anything else like UFOs and things like that? Do you investigate different things, or is it pretty much
we strictly stick with the spirits, ghosts, paranormal occurrences. UFOs are another thing to me. Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster. I kind of turn my head to all that. We just stick to spirits.
Okay. And who else is now in the group? You got a...
The group right now is three members. It's me, Zach, and our newest member is Kim, who joined our group back in November.
Mm-hmm. And you said it wasn't always called Oakland Paranormal. Was it another name, did you say? Or
It wasn't a name before that. We just really, people knew us as going out and being ghost hunters. Didn't have a name, and we'd ask to go to houses. We asked to go to cemeteries, but not having anything official to back up who we were kind of gave us a lot of difficulty trying to get into places.
Mm-hmm. And was the group always... Well, you've been getting some media attention as well now, too, right?
So, yes, correct.
And something that you mentioned to me, actually, pre-show was an Ohio paper, actually. And tell me a little bit about that.
The Oberlin Tribune in Oberlin, Ohio, was supposed to go on an investigation with us in an abandoned orphanage down there. And we were preparing for it for about 2 months in advance. And then we found out 2 days before the actual investigation that I got pulled out from under us due to safety issues, which we later found out was just boarded up windows in the building. The reporter still wanted to write the article on us, so he proceeded to email us and ask us questions about the group to, in hopes, bring us down to Oberlin someday still to investigate this old orphanage.
Okay. And tell us about some of the early investigations. What were you doing when you first started out?
When we first started out, we were being like every other teenager out there and sneaking into cemeteries and seeing if we can find anything, until we got invited to an abandoned house on one of our friends' properties and really started to experience real paranormal activity, knocking on walls. My co-founder, Zach, actually got grabbed in the basement of this house, and we had our first actual visual evidence. So since then, we've been more professional about it and getting into houses and businesses, obtaining permission, so we would back up Oakland Paranormal as being a professional group.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with other paranormal groups, or...?
We communicate with other paranormal groups, but usually each group likes to stick to their own way of doing things.
Are there other ones like are close in your area or?
Yeah, there is Metro Paranormal, Motor City Ghost Hunters.
Okay, so there's a few other ones around, but okay. Did you, has anybody ever thought or do you guys contact each other for any advice or any, you know, things like that? Or is it?
We contact each other for like one of our investigations, Metro Paranormal previously has investigated, and we wanted to compare our evidence we caught.
Okay, so there's no kind of rivalry if you're going to a place that they've done or something like that? Or
no,
everybody gets along okay?
No, yeah, everyone tries to get along.
Yeah, cool. So later in the show, we're going to listen to some of the EVPs, which are electronic voice phenomena, because you guys have recorded some ghosts. And tell us how you go about setting up a meeting with someone, though, who requires your assistance. Do they usually, like, do they come to you? Do you go to them, or is it a...
There's two ways we go about it. Recently, we've been contacted by homeowners and businesses about us coming out there to even see if there is activity going on or if it's all in their head. And going about other ways, we usually try and contact the city or the actual owner of the business to see if we can get an interview with anyone who has witnessed any paranormal activity, or we can have a meeting with the actual owner of the building to obtain permission to get in there and investigate.
Mm-hmm. And now, what type of paperwork do you have to file? Is there...
For paperwork, what we mostly do is we try and have, for investigations, we have the owners sign a sheet saying they're allowing us in there in case any authorities come around or whatnot that shows right. we're allowed to be in there. But we also like to have them recognize that we're signing a sheet to give them that says we're responsible for ourselves. So if we trip and sprain an ankle, we can't turn around and say it's the building's fault.
Right. And how does that work with insurance? I mean...
Insurance-wise, it's actually hard to find an insurance company for the paranormal aspect of things. Mm-hmm. The way we look at it is, I mean, each of us individually have insurance, and to find insurance as a group, we're still looking into it. But, I mean, overall, we're all covered.
Mm-hmm. And then does somebody take notes while you guys are – I know you're recording some of the voice stuff, and you're probably doing some videotape and that, but somebody take notes as well while you're – doing the investigation? Or
yes, while we're doing the investigation, we try and wear watches or something that'll tell us the time so we can mark down times we have heard things or seen things. We try and keep pretty detailed on when things happen throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. And has anything bad happened when you've been in a place? Or
Nothing bad has happened yet. The worst that I've personally dealt with was the feeling of being frozen in place where my heart was just pounding and I couldn't move from the area I was in. I've had the breath knocked out of me from seeing something. My co-founder's been grabbed, and Kim, our newest member, hasn't really witnessed anything yet except some visual things, but nothing threatening.
Mm-hmm. And how much have you guys actually studied about paranormal itself? You know, what's the did you kind of like everybody's sort of self-taught or
everybody's a little self-taught? We try and share with each other so we each can learn each other's ways of looking at things. I've been looking into it since, as I said, I was 17. I've been trying to find anything I could on anything to do with demons, paranormal, spirits, ghosts, and angels.
So there's probably is there any real training that you could have or somebody could have if they wanted to get into it? I mean, are there courses or classes of any kind?
There are actually courses online you can find them. I don't know the website off the top of my head, but the best way to go about it is to learn your own comfortable level of doing things.
Right. Maybe that's another aspect for you guys, is teach people at some point.
That would
classes.
Be fun.
There you go. Do you ever think some of the things that you know you guys uncover, the percentage that's real or not real, are there things that even you guys have seen that other people have seen, but there's an explanation for them?
Yes, that actually happens more than seeing stuff that is actually real. What we try and do is document absolutely everything and debunk everything we can.
Right.
But then we give our report to the owner of the business or the owner of the house and let them do with it or believe what they want with it.
Now, let's discuss some of the equipment. After the break, we'll actually listen to some of the recordings you've made on investigations, the EVPs or electronic voice phenomena. But let's start there. What type of audio recorder do you use? And is that the Spirit Box?
The audio recorder we use is actually just a regular digital voice recorder. A lot of students will use it in class to record a lecture. You can get it at any retail store for anywhere from $20 to $80. Mm-hmm. When it comes to spirit boxes, we're really leery on those because they're such they have such strong frequency that they pick up radio stations that you've probably never even heard of. So we don't like to use those because it's hard to establish a spirit voice compared to a fuzzy radio voice.
Now, is that something that about what we were talking about before, what was it, Frank's box and things like that? Is that a spirit box type?
Yes, okay. Frank's box is a spirit box, and there's a place called that Radio Shack that sells, it's called a radio box or whatnot, where you can make it yourself.
Okay.
But overall, I prefer not to use them.
So are these things that work by picking things out of those frequencies like radio? Because I know a lot of times when I've heard those things, you actually hear static and stuff, radio type static, and then you hear these things coming through. Is that how that works, or does it actually work by recording that type of stuff from the air? You know what I mean?
It works by coming through static because spirits have such low energy for them to be able to talk to you directly. You can't hear it with the human ear, so being able to come through static gives them a little bit more energy to speak directly to you, hence why we record it and listen back to it.
Okay, so but when you guys are recording, your recorder records quietness until you hear something, right?
Right.
So these things, do they actually have this sound coming through them, like as if you put on an AM radio to just static and listened? Is
directly,
that how that
yes,
works?
Yes, so the sounds come directly through them. Right. The only way to record them is to have a digital recorder and the voice box and be recording at the same time.
Okay, and then an EMF reader, what's that?
The EMF reader measures the electric magnetic field in the area, which can cause a lot of hallucinations. Like if you have loose cords or copper wires hanging around the area, it can mess with your head and cause you to see things.
Oh, really?
So we try and take EMF readings throughout the location before we do an actual investigation to explain anything that could be going on.
Mm-hmm. And then infrared.
The infrared camera, we have an infrared digital camera which takes pictures in pitch black, and you can see them as clear as day without a flash going off and illuminating everything. There's also an infrared video camera which can cost up to $2,500. We just use regular digital video cameras with flashlights because that's mm-hmm. the cheapest way to go and the easiest way to go. Down the road, if we have more money coming to our group, we're going to get an infrared camera. Mm-hmm. But until then, we stick with the basics.
Okay. And then a laser grid pen, what is that exactly?
The laser grid pen is actually like a laser pen, but it shoots out a grid across the whole room. So instead of one laser pointing in one spot, mm-hmm. there's hundreds of lasers pointing all over the room.
Okay.
So if something walks in front of it, you're able to see things get blocked out.
And then night vision security camera.
The night vision security camera is like a regular security camera you could put in a retail store for after hours that records it when all the lights are off. You could buy an external one at a regular security store or like Home Depot or something like that. It's just a lot easier when we're not in a room that has a high level of activity to record and not be in there.
Now, does that let more light in, or is that that green look that you see in nighttime vision?
That's the green look you see in nighttime vision.
Right. You guys have some handheld temperature guns, and what do those do?
Those are actually used by electricians, which are, you can measure the heat signature coming off a wire, but they're also good use to measure the heat in front of you or the cold in front of you. A lot of people say that when a spirit's around, the temperature drops. So being able to read that directly right in front of you as it's happening is something that you can go off of when you want to conduct an EVP session or just research in that room a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I know there are full spectrum cameras available. Can you explain what these things do?
The full spectrum cameras are a little more pricey, which our group doesn't have them, but they allow you to see in pitch blackness, so you don't have to use a flashlight. You can go into an abandoned place in the middle of the night and watch through the camera and see exactly where you're going, where if you use a regular digital camera, you would probably get lost or fall over something and not see what's in front of you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to listen to some actual EVPs captured by the Oakland Paranormal Group, and those are electronic voice
phenomena.
So that's going to be pretty cool. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. I've got Benjamin Young here in the studio, and he's with the Oakland Paranormal Group, and we're gonna get into some EVPs shortly. I got a couple other things I want to talk to you about first, and one is to tell me about some of your more recent investigations.
The more recent investigations, actually, the most recent one we've been on was the Locker Room Saloon in Utica, Michigan. The actual building or the property was built on in 1830 and has been rebuilt a number of times due to massive fires in the early 1900s. The activity there has been people locked in freezers downstairs, pushed down the stairs, an older lady seen out of the window up top. And we've actually done two investigations there to compare our evidence and gotten a good amount of stuff from there and verified some of the things that they've claimed to see. We have investigations coming up that in the Michigan State Prison in Jackson, Michigan, which is the oldest standing prison in Michigan and was used to film in the movie Stone with Robert De Niro in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have most likely a prison in Montana coming up that has a actual gallows room where the prisoners were hung before it closed down. And we have a few places in Ottawa and Kingston in Canada that we're trying to currently get into.
And as well, you definitely like to, I mean, obviously Windsor's a lot closer than Kingston.
Yes,
or
yes,
or Ottawa. So if there's anybody even in the Windsor area, I guess, that has
any paranormal activity going on,
right,
then they can contact us.
And how can they do that?
You can find us on Facebook under Oakland Paranormal. All of our contact information is on there, our phone numbers, our email. The best way to get a hold of us is through email. It goes directly to all of our phones, and we will respond within a day.
Okay, that's cool. And we'll give that out again in a bit. Did you mention Michigan State Prison?
Yes, the Michigan State Prison, as I said, was the oldest standing prison in Michigan. Opened up in 1830, closed down in 1928. A lot of the prisoners got sent to mental hospitals or just released after the prison closed down. It is known in the late 1800s, about 1870s, that the warden was sadistic, would torture prisoners, would do anything he could and make the guards turn their backs to it until he got discovered in the early 1900s and got fired as the warden.
Right, and this is a gig that you guys should have coming up, and you're actually going to do some recording of this and have some type of a...
Yeah,
broadcast.
We're going to be recording it and putting it on YouTube, and also I'm working on a website for our group, oaklandparanormal.com, which everything will be broadcast directly through there. And also throughout the spring and summer, and also comes around Halloween too, we are going to be conducting public paranormal tours in the Michigan State Prison, where anyone is welcome to come do a 4-hour to 8-hour stay in the prison and investigate themselves.
Okay. Take yourself to prison on your own free will. Yeah, that sounds really cool. Now, oaklandparanormal.com, is this a domain you guys already have secured but just don't have the site up yet?
We don't have the site up yet. The domain is secured.
Okay, good. People keep that in mind, oaklandparanormal.com?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess we're ready to... Actually, I want to mention, too, that are you familiar with any of the groups over here that actually do investigation or no?
When I talked to the city of Windsor, I forgot who it was exactly I talked to. They did mention some groups, but I don't remember them off the top of my head.
Okay. So maybe if there's you know, anybody listening to the show that's involved in that, you might want to get in touch with Benjamin as well, because you know, they may be able to have some insight as to what's going on over here.
In Windsor and Ontario.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to take a listen to some of these EVPs, and we can start by, like, there's one here, it's called Key. Maybe you can just give us a quick...
You have to listen to it closely, but we're in the basement of the Locker Room Saloon, which I earlier mentioned, where people have been locked in the freezer, and I step into the freezer in the background, and I got a chill. The freezer wasn't on at the time, so I knew the temperature that when I walked in, and I walked out, and I just didn't feel comfortable, and then we heard something that we did not hear when we were there.
Okay, and what does it say exactly?
It just says key, when key? I mentioned being locked in the freezer.
All right, let's take a listen to this.
Go in there.
They're going in and out of the freezer. That's where all the noise is coming from.
Okay, so that you could hear that. Key, I'm going to play it again.
Go in there.
Huh? Go in there.
In the freezer?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Key.
And there was only one female in the basement with us, and the whole time she didn't talk through the whole investigation unless we asked her something.
And who was it telling who to go into the freezer?
I came out of the freezer and I was telling my co-founder to go in there because I wanted to lock him in.
Oh, okay. We're going to listen to another one here. Now, this one is called Laughing.
In the background, we hear it's a faint laughter, but it sounds like it's another thing we didn't hear while we were there, and it's hard to explain. As I said earlier, a lot of these things are easy to debunk, but when it's something we can't explain or don't know why it's there, then that's when we count it as something.
Okay, let's take a listen to this one. This is called Laughing. It's about 9 seconds. Yeah, that was definitely some laughing there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to that one again.
I got to say, to me, it sounds like a clown.
It sounds like, obviously, something laughed.
None of us were, that was in the middle of the bar. None of us were present in the room at the time.
This one here, the next one we're going to listen to is called To Your Right.
There's the owner of the bar who is frustrated at the spirits there. He likes to egg them on, and he was asking if there was anyone down there with him, and something replied to him, "I'm here." Then there was a shuffle, and then you hear it say after that, "To your right."
Okay, let's take a listen to that. Is that it there? Like a whisper kind
of? Yeah, it's a faint whisper. Yeah. You got to listen. Right after he says, call him, you hear, I'm here. Then he says, now, and you hear to your right right after.
Well, we'll take a listen to that one again. I'm going to turn things up here a little bit.
Call him. Now. You got it.
Yeah, to your right. Okay. Strange stuff.
Yeah. Caught me off guard.
And these are from your record. This isn't from anything that's picking up static itself or anything, is it?
No, this is directly from a digital voice recorder, which we are either sitting on a table or holding in our hands.
Okay, let's go for another one here. This one's called No. What's that?
That one's self-explanatory. You'll hear it.
Okay.
Green grid with you? No.
Well, that's a strange voice.
We tried to debunk that one. We looked back at video. We looked back at everything. There was 3 people in the basement at the time, all standing shoulder to shoulder. Not one person answered that. The spirit is actually responding to my co-founder, Zach, who tried to radio me upstairs.
Yeah.
And at the time, I did not have the radio on me. It was downstairs with the other members.
And I didn't recall again. What was it he said before the no?
He called upstairs to see if I had the laser grid pen I told you about earlier.
Okay, yeah. What was it he said? Do you remember?
Zach or the spirit?
Zach.
Zach called up and he says, "Hey Ben, do you have the grid with you?"
Okay, and right after that, we hear that. No, let's listen to that again.
Grid with you? No.
That's one of the best EVPs that we've caught to date.
It's very prominent, very loud. Yeah, and here's another one. Two. This is called
when. When Oz is the owner of the bar, he asked again about spirits being down there, and to me, it sounds like it's answering him. There's two of us.
Let's listen to that one. Yeah, it's.
You hear the two really clear, but the two of us is really hard to hear without.
Oh, there's of us on the other. Let's listen to that again then, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can hear it. Yeah, that part of it's faint, but definitely something there. Are you familiar with. Well, we talked a little bit about the Frank's box and then the.
Full spectrum camera.
SpiritCom. Oh, the cameras as well, but
yes.
When I had talked to you actually again pre-show about the boxes, and you said that you prefer not to use those because of the.
I prefer not to use them because when I used one actually on the second locker room investigation, and even any AM stations, any FM 1 or FM 2 stations, everything was just picking up stations. My truck wouldn't even pick up. This box was picking up.
Okay.
So it just interrupted everything we had to do, so we just stuck with the digital voice recorders.
Are they made to pull in signals a lot stronger?
Yeah, they're made to pull in signals stronger because it gives you that more frequency. But if anyone was actually interested in getting one, you would want to find one of them that goes through the frequency waves a lot quicker than the one I got. I don't know the exact name of it, but it was about $80. The best kind to get are 150 plus.
Mm-hmm. When using these or this particular box or whatever, did you get anything out of it? I mean,
I got
besides static,
I got a radio show.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens after you've investigated now? say you find some kind of an entity or something in a place or whatever. I mean, what happens after that? Do people move out, or do they?
Well, after we investigate, we put together a report and give it to the owner of the business or the home, wherever we did investigate. And we don't go about getting rid of spirits. The best we try and do is to find out what they are or who they are. And that usually it puts the owners at ease to know what's going on in their house.
Mm-hmm. These entities, are they... do they stick with a place, or do they follow people? Like, I mean, if people left a place that was haunted or something like that, is a spirit going to follow them?
They can. It's actually hard to say with the few cases that we've done recently. We believe one of them that the spirit is attached to a person, not the actual building. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it seems like a lot of the spirits are just attached to something in the building that keeps them around.
Right. Why don't you give out the contact information again?
To get a hold of us, the best way is through Facebook. Just search Oakland Paranormal. Or you could email us. If you can't find the page, it's oakland.paranormal@gmail.com. I'm the founding member. My name's Benjamin Young, and the co-founder is Zachary Walker. One of us will respond to your email within a very short period of time if you try and get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm. And you're just as interested, I guess, in finding out places that you can investigate, as well as possibly people that might be interested in being a part of the group, especially
True.
From your area,
we're,
I guess.
We're still looking for a fourth member. And if anyone knows any places that are actually haunted or even rumored of haunting, we'd like to know about it.
I think we have one more of these left. Let's take a listen to this last one. This one's called Eyes.
We hear something faintly say in the back, "Eyes to the corner," I believe it said.
All right, let's take a listen to this one. Okay, that one's pretty quiet.
You hear the hiss at the end of "eyes," then after that you really need to listen. This is probably one of the harder ones to hear.
Let's take one more listen to this one. There's definitely something whispering. So,
again, all of these EVPs are uploaded on our Facebook page.
Great. And one more time with the contact.
Find us on Facebook under Oakland Paranormal, or email us at oakland.paranormal@gmail.com.
All right, good stuff. And your domain again?
Domain is going to be oaklandparanormal.com.
All right, keep an eye out for that as well. And really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, it sounds like scary stuff. If you suspect paranormal activity of some kind, possibly in your own home, you might want to consider having paranormal investigators in. Search Oakland County Paranormal, the Oakland County Paranormal Group on Facebook, especially in Detroit and surrounding area. And next week, I'm joined by Canadian actor Jesse Bond. This is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.